said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Welcome to Go Teach All Nations, bringing you Christ's teachings through Australian and international speakers. And here is today's presenter, Sam Walters.
Dear Lord, as we come to you this morning, I'm just praying that you'll be with my mind. You see, my mind is all over the place. I'm just praying that you'll steady it. We're claiming the promise of Luke 11, verse 13, which says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Dear Lord, you asked us to pray to send laborers out into the field because the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And so, dear Lord, we come to you asking for that this morning, that you will do something for us, that you will do something in us, that you will raise up laborers even in our midst. This morning, dear Lord, may that be our experience. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The value of mission work can never be underestimated. The value of winning a soul for Jesus Christ can never be understated. Giving Bible studies to somebody in their home and taking them point by point through the great truths that we know and leading them into a relationship with Jesus Christ and watching them give up the ways of this world and choosing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and coming to Waitara Church and getting baptized is something that you cannot put a price on. When I look at my own history, my own family, my mom was a single parent and she had a son. Just a bit of my own story, my own background. She had a son and she was working in my auntie's Jamaican food shop. While she was there, lighting some rubbish at the back, and her dress caught a light. She was on fire. She prayed and asked God in a moment of need, "God, if you save me, I'll turn to you. If you save me, I'll turn to you." She was in hospital. She had to relearn to walk because she was in hospital for so long. And after about 2 years, she remembered her promise. Started going to different churches, Sunday churches, Mormon churches. If there was a preacher on the street, she'd stop and she'd listen. She would take a tract because she was searching. She was searching. You never know who's searching amongst you. Have something on you. She was searching. And as she was searching, we ended up going to a Mormon church. So I would have been about 4 years old. And mom was going to a Mormon church, and mom's not just taking me, she's also taking my cousins, so her siblings' children. And she had a friend from school who was a Seventh-day Adventist, my Auntie Vivian. She's not my auntie, she's like a church auntie. You know what I mean? Church auntie, but I call her Auntie Vivian. And Auntie Vivian says, "Why don't you come and have some Bible studies with Brother Fisher? He's at my home church. He's in his 80s now." And so Brother Fisher was giving Bible studies to my mom. And as he relays the story to me, he said, "Sam, I was giving Bible studies to your mom." This is, I was in his house. And I could just sense there was a block and I didn't know what it was. And he pointed to a place in his living room. Do you call them living rooms here? What do you call them? Living rooms. He pointed to a place in his living room, a spot. He said, "I got down there, Sam, and I kneeled. And I asked God to reveal to me what the block is." He said, "The next day, your mom said, 'I'm studying with Mormons.'" I go, "So then I knew how to tailor the studies. I knew how to tailor the studies so that I knew kind of the approach to take with your mom." And then mom, she's a you know, Jamaicans don't mind confrontation. So she was getting questions about the Sabbath. So she just invited the Mormons and Brother Fisher to the house. Same time. Because she wanted to know what the answers to the questions were. And from that conversation, we became Adventists. And I just look at Mum's life and what God's done to her and for her since accepting Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Like, my demographic should be in all the wrong statistics when you look at me and where I'm coming from, and single person, single parent home from my particular background in the part of England that I'm from. But she accepts the truth for our time. She becomes a different person. She goes back to university. She buys a home. You'd be surprised what truth does something to people on many different aspects and areas of their life. And sometimes there are people struggling just for a want of knowing who Jesus is. And if they knew who Jesus was, their whole situation would turn around. God's looking for someone to say, I want to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, we see our marching orders. Matthew chapter 28, we see our marching orders. We get given the Great Commission from verses 18 through to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I'm sure we all know it. Go ye therefore and teach your nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Mark 16. So that was Matthew's take on it. In Mark 16, Mark chapter 16, verses, reading from verse 15, we see Mark's taken things, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Now, you have to forgive me. I was told yesterday, I need to speak more slowly. I'm speaking with a British accent, which I'm trying to speak more slowly so people can understand what it is that I'm saying. We're in Mark 16. And in Mark 16, reading from verse 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In Luke 24, it's not so much of a full thing as you see in Matthew or Mark, but you just see a little glimpse, and it's Luke 24, verse 48. And ye are witnesses of these things. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, I'm intentionally doing this, so I'm hoping you guys are following. We're going Matthew, we're going Mark, we're going Luke, and now we're looking at John. And in Luke, John, Jesus zooms in, the author John zooms in on one specific individual. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's speaking to everybody. But in John, he zooms in on one specific individual. And in John chapter 21, you see him zoom in, and we're looking at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. If we're going to talk about last day adulting, you can't talk about last day adulting and you don't talk about mission. If you study Adventist history, it will soon become very apparent that anybody that was becoming an adult, a young person that was transitioning from adolescence to adulthood, recognized that they had a need, that there was something that was necessary for them to do, and it was to be a part of the mission that God has given to his last day people. Mission. Somehow, I don't know how, somehow, it can feel as though mission has become relegated to those that are professional. But mission isn't just for professionals, friends. And mission isn't simply a holiday. I love a mission trip. I love a mission trip. But mission's more than 2 weeks elsewhere. But mission's more of a lifestyle. And also, which I'm going to try to go through in a second and you'll see it, mission isn't simply about God trying to reach somebody over there. But mission is God's way of not only reaching people over there, but mission's also God's way of God also trying to reach us in here. All right. Let's work with that. Let's take another look at those verses that we've just seen. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to go back to all four of them. Matthew chapter 28. And let's see who it was that Jesus was speaking to. Let's identify their characteristics. Matthew chapter 28. And read from verse 16. We're just going a few verses up from the Great Commission. Read from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And then verse 18, we've got all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay. So Jesus has been dead. He's resurrected. He's been in the cross. He's been in the grave. He's come out of the grave. This wasn't a secret. This was public news. And he's appearing to his disciples, and they've come worshipping, but some have come worshipping, but they're also struggling with doubt. They believe, but there's some things in them that, I don't know, maybe they've got questions, maybe they haven't got everything figured out, and they're looking at their own experience, they're looking at their own spiritual experience, and some of the faith that they wish they could have had, they don't have it at that moment in time. And so they believe, they're worshipping, but they're also struggling. And Jesus says to these people that are worshipping, that are worshippers, that believe, but are also dealing with struggles, he gives them the Great Commission. He says to these people that are worshipping, but are struggling with doubt, listen, you worshipping doubters, you're the ones who I want to take the gospel to the world. Let's carry on. We're building. We're building. Let's go back to Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark 16, and we're going to read from verse 9. Mark chapter 16, reading from verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. So Jesus has appeared to Mary Magdalene, and she's gone and told some people who were mourning and weeping over the situation with Jesus, of Jesus' death, that Jesus is risen. But verse 11 says, and when And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They didn't believe Mary. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. So Jesus is appearing to people. And as he's appearing to people, he's explained to the people are saying, Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive, but some of the disciples aren't believing. And then verse 14, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which have been seen after he was risen. And then he says to them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay. So in Matthew, Jesus tells people who are struggling with doubt, you're the ones who will want to take the gospel to the world. In Mark, Jesus tells people who are struggling with unbelief and hardness of heart, you're the individuals who will want to take the gospel to the world. Have you ever dealt with unbelief? Has there ever been something that God's told you to do, but you didn't want to do it because your heart was hard? Have you ever struggled with sin and overcoming certain things in your life and your experience? Has there ever been something that you know is wrong and you're trying not to do that, but your heart's just hardened? And here, God takes some individuals who are struggling with unbelief and hardness of heart, and he says to them, I want you guys have an untapped potential. You guys have an unrealized dream within you. There's a capacity. There's a capability. If you align yourselves with me to take the gospel to the world. Right here in Waitara, I believe this is not hyperbole. Right here in this congregation, I believe this is not an exaggeration. Right here, the people in this room, this is not me being over the top. There is a capacity to change the world. Someone came this morning struggling with doubts. God says, I've got something for that. See, the process of sharing is not God simply trying to reach somebody out there, but God says, as you work alongside me in trying to reach your neighbor, I'll do something inside of you. I'll change you from the inside as you work alongside me. Let's build this thing up. Let's go to Luke 24. Luke 24. In Matthew, the people are struggling with doubt. In Mark, the people are struggling with unbelief and hardness of heart. Let's look at Luke 24. And we're reading from verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Listen to this carefully. I mean, this is unbelievable. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. For 3.5 years, Jesus has been trying to teach the disciples certain topics. He's been mentoring them. He's been giving them parables. They've been hearing him in the synagogue. They've been hearing him teach by the wayside. And as for 3 years, Jesus has been teaching the disciples. And at the end, he's coming to the end of his ministry. And they still don't get it. So he has to give them an on-the-spot Bible study. And then he says, you guys are taking the gospel to the world. If you don't get it after 3.5 years, when are you going to get it? Sometimes someone's thinking, I can't share because I've not got all the answers to the questions. I don't get it. Sometimes I get 1798 mixed up with 1844 and I get the different dates wrong and I haven't got it all figured out. God says is that even if you don't get it all, start sharing what you know. Sometimes I'm struggling with doubts. God says go. Sometimes I'm struggling with unbelief and hardness of heart. God says go. Sometimes I don't know all the answers to all the questions. God says go. I remember when I gave my first Bible study. Let me tell you what I did. I went onto YouTube. This is the day I'm giving the Bible study. And I typed in how to give a Bible study. SDA. You gotta regulate it. SDA. The guy said some things of what to say, and I went in there, and that's what I said. I didn't have all the answers, friends. And I still don't have all the answers. But what I do know is that God, through that process, was not only impacting the person who was getting the study, but God was changing me on the inside. In John, let's take a quick look at who John is speaking to. John chapter 21. Reading from verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, the other two of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They saying to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Simon, at this point in his life, has denied Christ 3 times. Simon, at this point in his life, is feeling probably a bit discouraged. Jesus has called him from a life of fishing. He left his nets, and Jesus has said to him, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And here you see Simon go back to something that he had previously left. And Jesus says to Simon, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Have you ever gone back to something that you've previously given up? Something that you thought you'd gotten victory over this particular thing, but here we are, we've gone back in circles and we're back again. See, you see, in Matthew, they're dealing with doubt. In Mark, they're dealing with unbelief and hardness of heart. In Luke, they haven't got all the answers, they don't know everything. Jesus had to give them an on-the-spot Bible study. And in John, we're seeing someone who's despondent, who's discouraged. He's gone back to some things that aren't quite right. And Jesus says to them, listen, I've got something for you. He said, you've got more than this. A friend, I want you to feed my sheep. I need you to feed my lambs. I haven't given up on you. But I've still got a place for you in my mission. I've still got a place for you in my work. And I've still got a position for you in my service. And God says to us today, friends, that mission is something that he's longing for us to engage with. Because God's not simply trying to change other people. He's also trying to change us. Now, it's one thing, to know that. It's just another thing to do it. Because I feel like we all know, yes, I'm giving Bible studies, yeah, I know we need to do that. But then to actually live it in my life. James talks about faith and works, and in James chapter 2, Reading from verse 14, the Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" James here says there's an individual who's there, who's here, and there's another individual who's here. The individual who's here is destitute and needs some food. And the individual who's here can do something about it. The individual who's here sees the person who's destitute and needs some food and thinks about it in their mind. They take in the fact that this person is destitute and needs some food. They've seen it. They've observed it. They've thought about it. And then the Bible says, "And one of you say, depart in peace, be warmed. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." James says that faith here for this individual is more than what the person sees. Faith here for this individual is more than what the person thinks. Faith here for this individual is more than what the person says. That faith, if he doesn't act on it, if he doesn't do something about it, well, the Bible calls it dead. Verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thy faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." This is where our title comes from. "But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" James then gives two examples of faith. Two examples. One's of a man, one's of a woman. One's of a Hebrew, one's of a non-Hebrew. One is rich and one's poor. Abraham and Rahab. And their faith led them to do something. It's more than what you say. It's more than what you think. But the faith that they had went beyond just simply thinking about it and having conversations in the Sabbath school, but it impacted their daily life during the week. They recognized that this thing called mission is something I've got to live out, friends. When it becomes 24/7 for you, and you commit to saying, "God, I want to do something this week for you." And you commit to saying, "Lord, show me someone who I can win for you. Show me someone who I can serve for you." I trust me, all around the harvest is plentiful. It's the laborers. I started praying this. I had an interview. My friend and I, we got a little podcast going on. And we interviewed somebody and they started to talk about divine appointments. And, you know, I heard it all. You know, when you've been in church for a long time, you've heard all the lyrics. Investigative judgment, divine appointments, just another phrase. Just another phrase. Divine appointments. So I said, you know what? Let me start praying. I'm at my workplace. As I'm going up the steps in the hospital, somebody stops me. I've just been praying for divine appointments. Somebody stops me. "Sam, have you seen Mr. Wright recently? Oh, I know who he is. I haven't seen him for a long time. Yeah, you need to go and see him. Yeah, I need to go and see him. You're a Seventh-day Adventist, aren't you?" "Yeah, I'm Seventh-day Adventist." Yeah. "So, yeah, she carries on. But you know, you hear something. How come she said Seventh-day Adventist?" So anyway, we carry on, we're talking. And this thing, you know, see, I was brought up a Seventh-day Adventist. We work in the same place. I was brought up a Seventh-day Adventist. So now we're talking. I've been praying for divine appointments. I was brought up a Seventh-day Adventist. Okay. So as we're talking, I says, "Well, you know where my church is?" She goes, "Yes, I know where it is, right by the dentist." And right there in the steps in the hospital, there's tears in her eyes. And to be honest, Sam, every time I go to the dentist and I see your church, I feel like God's been calling me home. Last week, Friday. No. Yeah. Not yesterday. My time is all over the place. Last week, Friday. I'm at work. Saying, "Sam, what are you doing?" Next week I'm off, I'm going to be in Australia. I'm giving some talks, preaching some meetings, what have you. Oh, Sam, had a rebuke from the Holy Spirit. Didn't I tell you to invite me to church so I can hear you speak? She's Sikh. My Muslim colleague was there. Yeah, invite me too. You never know who God's trying to reach.
Amen.
Sometimes in your own mind, you've got your own barriers about who you think is more receptive. But all around you, I'm learning from my own experience that the harvest is plentiful, but friends and family of the Watara Seventh-day Adventist Church is the laborers that are few. God's calling us to have a faith that's more than what we think. That's more than what we say. That's more than what we believe. But impacts what I do. And as you do that, as you begin to reach out, as you begin to see an impact in other people's lives, I promise you, you'll be changed from the inside. Now, you don't need much for God to bless it. I love this. I tell you why I love this. I'm in Australia, and you guys don't know any of these British illustrations. There's a guy called Captain Tom during COVID. Yes.
I know him.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad we're together. Captain Tom wanted to say he was a World War II veteran and wanted to raise some money for the National Health Service. Wanted to raise some money for the National Health Service. He couldn't do much. He couldn't do much. Now, we call them Zimmer frames.
Walkers here.
Walker. So he walked with his walker. Captain Tom wanted to do something for his country and for the National Health Service of the UK. And so he said, I can't do much. I can't run a marathon. I can't run a 10K. But what I can do is that I can take my walker and I can walk up and down my garden. And so walking up and down his garden for his 100th birthday, his 100th birthday, he raised not £1,000. I don't know what that is in Australian dollars. I had no Australian dollars with me, so I just put some pounds in the offering basket. I pray that the deacons will be able to do something with that. He didn't just raise £1,000 or $1,000. It wasn't just $2,000, but millions of dollars he raised walking up and down his garden. And God says, if you give me the little bit that you have, just a little bit of time. I haven't got the whole week. That's fine. Give him an hour. Give him a little bit that you have. You're at work. Just open up just a little bit. Sometimes it can be, I don't know, in England. I don't know how it is in Australia. You can be so British in the way you are at work that everything's so closed, so professional, so reserved, so not open about what I'm doing on a Sabbath and what I'm doing in the week and what my Christianity really means to me and my relationship with God. It's so just about me, and I just let people live their life and I'm living my life. But God say, just open up just a little bit. And if you open up just a little bit, you'll watch and see how God is able to transform somebody's life. But you're just giving God a little bit of a chance. Give him a little bit of a chance. And in a little bit of a chance, you'll see God work and do miracles with just a little bit of a chance. Just 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what God's asking for. Just a little bit of, just 2 mites. Like that lady put in, that's what God's asking for. Like the widow of Zarephath, all she had was just her last little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. God says, just give me the little bit that you have. And as you give me the little bit that you have, I'll do something with it. And I'm wondering today if there's somebody that's willing to do that. Right, well, as we wrap up, the challenge from this morning's sermon is this. All around us, there's unpicked fruit. There's a labour shortage currently in the UK because of Brexit. We're about 300,000 workers down. I don't know what they were thinking. And so, 2022, the first 6 months, there was about £60 million worth of unpicked fruit left in the ground because there was nobody to pick it. But all around us, friends, in Sydney, there's unpicked fruit because there's nobody to pick it. And God's calling somebody in this room to say, you know what? Let me give God a little bit of a chance. Give him a little bit of time. And as I do that, as I test him, as I taste and see that the Lord is good, God will do something, I promise you, friends, inside of you. Someone struggling with doubt and said, I haven't got time to help somebody else. I just need to get myself sorted out, friends. You've got the paradigm completely wrong. It's as you help other people that you're blessed yourself. Someone saying, I just need to come to church and get a blessing. But friends, you've got the paradigm completely wrong. It's as I seek to be a blessing that I'm blessed. Somebody saying, I need someone to serve me because my wounds need fixing. But friends, you've got the paradigm completely wrong. It's as I'm serving that God in service transforms my own life.
Amen.
May God help us. To step out in faith this week of worship, and give God a chance. Is there someone that I can invite to the meetings? Have a think this week. Is there someone I can send a link to watch? Have a think this week. And watch God work a miracle that you weren't expecting. If it's your desire. To say, Lord, I want to be a laborer. And as I help bring change to others, Lord, please change me. Would you raise your hands where you are? Heavenly Father, you see the hands that are raised. We're asking for this transformation to take place in our own lives and in the lives of others. May we be the people that you've called us to be. May you fill us with your spirit. Today, dear Lord, we want to give you a chance. Sometimes we're so closed. Sometimes we're so reserved. Sometimes we're trying to be, I don't know, just have this protection around us that we think we can do it in a self-sufficient way. But dear Lord, we want to open up ourselves to you this morning, this afternoon. And as we do so, dear Lord, please may you reveal yourself to us. May we be the laborers you've called us to be. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message was made available by the Waitara Seventh-day Adventist Church. For more resources like this, visit waitarachurch.org.au.
This program has been brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio.